Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies. Good evening. And thank you for joining us on Warrior Women for God Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Minister Andrea, and I just want to again say thank you so much for joining us on this evening. And as always, I am truly excited to be able to share a word with you on this evening. I know you could be doing so many other things, but you chose to join us. So for that, I say thank you, and I celebrate each and every woman on the line tonight and every woman that will be coming on to join us very soon. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank you enough. I'm truly appreciative for each and every one of you on this evening. Tonight, my message is just a little bit lengthy, but it's very important. So make sure you get your Bibles out right now. If you have pen and paper, I want you to get out pen and paper because you are going to need to take copious notes. This is going to be something that's critical to your growth in Christ. So make sure that you have a pen, a sheet of paper, and your Bible if you don't already have those things out. And I'm going to go into prayer, a brief prayer, and as soon as I finish with the prayer, I'm going to go right into the message because, again, it's a little lengthy, so it may take me about 30 minutes through the message, but I like to be respectful of your time. I normally try to finish up around 8:30, but I might be just a few minutes over, so I want to get started quickly. So, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you on this evening, God, thanking you for allowing each and every one of us just to see another day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for another night of Warrior Women for God Bible Study, God. Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for each and everything that you have done for each and every one of us and everything that you will do for us, God. We thank you for making us special and unique in your kingdom, God. Lord, we are here on this line tonight because we want to draw nearer to you, Lord. We want to draw nearer to you, Lord. We want to be willing vessels for you, dear God. And we know that our lives are on divine assignment, God, and that you have passed for each and every one of us on this line tonight, God. We know that we have great skills and great talents to walk in your God-assigned greatness, God. God, we ask for a hedge of protection over our families, over our homes, over our jobs, and our businesses, Lord. We ask that whatever the enemy's plan for our lives, that you reverse it on this evening, right now, Lord. And we ask that if we have any feelings of fear, if we have any feelings of doubt in our minds, that those feelings will be arrested immediately, God. Lord, if there's anything that is holding us captive or any mind-binding spirits that's holding us bondage, Lord, we ask that you allow us to be released immediately, Lord. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Give us new eyes to see and new ears to hear so that we may hear your voice and only you, God. Lord, we ask you for deliverance of anything that we are struggling with, any healing of any sickness or disease in our bodies, in our children's body, in our family's body, because we know that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Thank you, God. God, again, we open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear you and only you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Ladies, my message tonight is titled, How Well Do You Know Your Father? How well do you know your father? And I'm not talking about your daddy, your daddy, your earthly dad. I'm talking about your heavenly father. Because it took a lot for me to learn about my father. I had to learn about my heavenly father. A lot. It took a lot. When I thought I knew things that I didn't even know. So tonight I want to share a message with you. And I think about a year and a half ago, I shared a similar message. And I want to share it, just expand on that message a little bit, just because I think it's very important that we know our Father. Because this is the person that we trust. This is the person that we believe. Father, our Heavenly Father. So I want to share this message or expand on this message with you tonight. How well do you know your Father? Now, during the Christmas season, I was it was the Christmas season of actually was going into 2014, so about a year and a half ago. And I remember I had, during that Christmas season of 2013, I had an opportunity to talk to quite a few people about things that they had wanted to accomplish during the year of 2014. And actually, earlier this year, I had the opportunity to speak with other people, and it was in similar conversation. And I wanted to know just what people wanted to accomplish during the year. I always ask people that. People ask me that as well. But interestingly enough, 75 to 80% of the people that I spoke with said that one of the things that they really wanted to do was to have a closer or better relationship with God. And some of the people were Christians and some of them were not. So as I talked to them, I began to ask people how they planned to build a better relationship, or what exactly were they going to do to draw nearer to God? What was their plan? And although I wasn't surprised that most people said that they were going to start attending church, you know, the new year was coming, they were going to start attending church more often, I wasn't surprised about that at all. But I was surprised that that was the only thing that most of them had planned to do to draw closer to God. So I began to ask in what ways they thought that going to church would help them to build a better relationship with God. And I was even more surprised that most people cannot explain how church would help them other than the fact that they will be around more positive people. And that's true. But we need to know a little bit more when we're trying to do a little bit better or a lot better. Many of us on this line know that we can't get to heaven through simply doing good deeds or simply going to church every Sunday. As most of us know, we must believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We know that. I also believe that most of us on this line, if not all of us, do believe that. But it's possible that some of us struggle in our walks and want to build a better relationship with God, but may not be quite sure of how. And some people question that. How do I get to know him better? Ask yourself this question. How do you build or develop a closer relationship with another human being? Let me repeat that question. How do you build or develop a closer relationship with another human being? You spend time with them in conversation, opening your heart to them and listening to them at the same time, right? You acknowledge you've done wrong and you seek for forgiveness when you're trying to build that better relationship. You seek to treat them well and sacrifice your own needs to fulfill theirs. And it's really not that different with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Although there are a number of ways to become closer to him, on tonight I'm going to share four vital keys to drawing nearer to him and getting to know him better. So, again, if you don't have your pen and paper, get ready. Get it together. Get your Bible. I'm going to move quickly, but I want you to do your best to follow along. And if you can't follow along with the scriptures as I move, make sure you're writing them down, because I would love for you to go back, because I'm going to give you the word. I'm not going to give you what Andrea says or what Andrea thinks. I'm going to give you the word of God. So four vital keys to draw nearer to him and get to know him better is what I'm going to share with you. The first one is fellowship. Fellowship. That's the first one. And the scripture for this is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The fellowship is very important because we need spiritual interaction. We need to be close to other Christians who are encouraging in the faith and help hold us accountable. I know we love, you know, a lot of our friends, and you hear this thing, no new friends, but, and all this, you know, and this is how we grew up, and BFF for life or whatever for life and all that. And that's great. But guess what? It's great to have new friends when you've been in a certain environment for so long and things aren't good. You can't always stay connected to the people that you grew up with because you can't grow with people who are just like you. Cannot grow with those people. Now, it doesn't mean that you no longer like them or you no longer care, but you've got to change your circle of influence because you can't grow with those kind of people. You didn't like it when you were in certain positions, and you didn't like it when you were there. That's like you grew up like I grew up in a low-income place. You might not have liked it there when you were younger. Now that you're older and some of your friends may still live there, and you may have moved on because you may not have liked it. You didn't like it when you were there. They don't even like being there. But see, the difference is you made a choice to leave. They made the choice to stay. So you have to disconnect from some things in order to move forward. So other Christians, they'll help you encourage your faith, and they'll help hold you accountable. And we each have a purpose here on earth to show the aspects of God to those around each and every one of us. We do, because we have been given special gifts, all of us. And all of us together show, we all show God's grace to the world. Think about it like this, like a cake. You need flour, you need sugar, you need eggs, you need oil, and you need more things to make a cake, right? You do. You need more things, but the eggs will never be the flour. And none of them make up the cake alone. But yet together, all of the ingredients make a delicious cake, right? And it's the same way with fellowship. All of us together show the glory of God. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance." Prophesy in accordance with your faith. So let me read that one more time, a little more clearly. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith." The same way that we need to spend time in order to grow, we need to spend time with other Christians. It helps encourage us, and I think we realize that we're not alone. Spending time with other believers help us to refocus and separate ourselves from negative people. Get connected to a good Bible-believing and teaching church. Now, no church is perfect, but if a church is going to help you grow in your relationship with God, you need to be there. Characteristics are necessary, and that's truth and love. The two characteristics, truth and love, that's necessary for your church. And it is important that the church you attend is rooted in the truth God has given us in his word, the Bible. It's very important. So you have to pay attention. You can't just go anywhere. Does the church recognize it as an ultimate authority, knowing who God is and what he wants for our lives? You need to know that. Is the Bible used in worship services? Does the time in worship and prayer reflect who God is? Do you have opportunity to learn more about the Bible? Are people maturing and growing in their faith? If they're not maturing and growing, you're not really using a Bible, and somebody's getting up just talking about story after story, then that's questionable. Do people in the church live in a way that is pleasing to God? You need to know that. See, God's word must be the foundation of any ministry, that is committed to the healthy spiritual growth of those who are involved. And truth must be balanced with love. A church that exhibits love for those within the church, the community, and throughout the world demonstrates that God's truth is a part of their lives. And you have to wonder, or not wonder, you need to know, is there unity in the church? Do people serve and care for each other? Does the church get along with other churches in the community? These are healthy churches. You need to know all this stuff so you can be in a good church. Again, not a perfect church. There's not a perfect one, but a good church. I mean, are the people that are in the church, are the people that are involved in the ministry of the church? Is the church concerned for the spiritual needs of the world around them? Are they? See, love for others is what demonstrates that we truly belong to God. In John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, God gives us a gift of learning. He does. You have to have love for one another, though, for him to do that. He gives us a gift of learning, not only learning, but growing. And when we come together in fellowship, I show each other how to live as God wants us to live and how to walk in his footsteps. If you need help selecting the right church, just ask God. Because I know people that say, I've been here from North Carolina for 5 years. I'm still visiting churches. No way you should be still visiting the church 5 years later. You should not be visiting the church 5 years after you came to Baltimore, to New York, to North Carolina, whatever. You should not. I bet you it took 5 years to get to a nail shop or beauty salon. And you're faithful to one of them. There's churches on almost every corner. It does not take 5 years, 7 years, or even 3 years. If you are seriously, actively seeking to fellowship with other people, it won't take that long. You got to get with the right church, yes, but it don't take that long. It's not going to take that long. Just ask God to help you select the right church. He'll gladly provide wisdom and discernment as you choose which church to call home. So that was the first thing, fellowship. Remember, number one was fellowship. Number two is prayer. Prayer. The scripture for this is Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Did you hear that? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The Bible instructs us to pray without ceasing. Prayer not only changes things, and it not only changes us, but it helps us to remember what God has done for us. It reminds you to ask for forgiveness of your sins and keeps you in good relationship with God. That's what prayer does. Pray as much as possible. Pray for those who do not have faith or do not even believe in God. Pray for changes in your life. Pray for God's protection and provision. Think about this. If you want your spouse to do something for you, what do? You ask. If you want them to buy you something, you ask them. And if you're used to getting a nice birthday gift or a Christmas gift from them, what do at Christmas time? You ask and expect to receive them, right? That is exactly what you're supposed to do with God. He already knows the desires of your heart, but he wants you to tell him what's on your heart and mind. I know that often, like, I think about this when I'm at work. I email my coworkers. I email my friends and different people. I send Facebook messages, and when I send them, what do you think I'm expecting? I'm expecting a response. A response. I am expecting an answer to a question, confirmation or something, and I'm just expecting that because I sent the email, I sent the message. Well, did you know that the same way that you expect a response from an email, you can just send God an email. Yep, an email. I said an email. K-N-E-E male, and he will respond. And let me quickly share with you how I know he answers me male. Around the time that I was inspired to share a portion of this message here, I remember, I think it was like around, might have been around the new year, around the new year of last year, however. But I remember my, the month before, which was about December of 2013, somewhere around at Christmas time, my daughter Alexis had started school, and she had been on her third day being withdrawn because there had been a problem with her financial aid, and they wanted several thousands of dollars immediately in order for her to stay in school. And they had called her down to the office one day to send her home, and they said she would need to wait until, like, maybe late February or something, for the remainder of the aid to come through, or I would have to, you know, I'd be paying a substantial amount of money for her to continue. So I talked to the financial aid office for almost an hour, and I would not give in until they said they would consider an arrangement for her. I just couldn't give in. Well, although the arrangement that they had offered me was impossible for me to cover at the time, I just agreed so I could keep her in school. And it was interesting because I had to pay that money within 2 days. And she went to school for the next 2 days. And when that Monday came around, I told her, because the next 2 days was like the Thursday and the Friday, I told her that she couldn't go back until I figured out something. And because I knew they were going to end up sending her home. And she was so sad on that day. I remember she had got up early to go to school, and she was kind of sad. Well, I had been praying about it. I was praying, and I was praying and thinking, and out of the clear blue sky, I remember my cell phone rang, and it was her teacher. Her name was Miss Green. What I didn't know about Miss Green is Miss Green was a Christian minister. She called to check to see why Alexis wasn't in school on Monday, because she knew Alexis had missed in school, and she said, "You know, I normally don't call kids, but for some reason, I felt the need to call Alexis because she's very engaged, and she's always early, and I was concerned about why she just didn't come today. Now, she had missed no days but that one day, that Monday. And I explained the situation to her, and she said, well, I haven't seen anything where she's been taking off my roles yet, so just please send her back tomorrow. And she said, in fact, send her back every day until they say she can't come anymore. Well, meanwhile, she suggested that I call the dean, and I left a message. I did call, and it was because I was no answer, so I left a message. And then maybe, I think the following Tuesday, Alexis had texted me or something. They had called her into the office, and she was saying something about, I'm in the line, and I'm waiting to see what they say about my balance. And I didn't really know what to say, but I didn't really want to, and she was saying, I don't really want to talk to them. And I really didn't want to say leave. I didn't want to say stay. I didn't know what to say to her, but she was saying, I don't know what to say. And I didn't want Alexis to talk to them. I wanted them to talk to me about the balance because she didn't know. And I remember I told Alexis to have them call me. And she said, Lexi said, well, there's two more students behind me. And I, at the same time, while she was in the line, I was still calling for the dean. I called back for the president. Well, the president called me back in 15 minutes, and I told him the entire situation. And I had set up a fundraiser on my website for a tuition and everything, and I had forwarded all the information to him. And I had forwarded, you know, the information about the money that I had collected and everything within that week while she was still in school. And he saw that, and he said, I'll take care of your daughter. He said, I'm just so highly impressed with the measures that you took to keep your daughter in school. And you know what? It wasn't me who resolved it. I had prayed about it and released it in the hands of the Lord, and God had settled it. And I just took it to the Lord and prayed. And when I prayed about it and released it and started that fundraiser, all I kept singing that day, I remember, is a song that kept dropping in my spirit, and I just kept saying, I want to draw closer to you, and then, you know, that's all I desire to do, and I just kept repeating my own little song, and I don't know where that song came from, but I was just saying, I want to draw closer to you, and that's all I desire to do, and I just kept singing and singing. So that's how I know that prayer helps. Now, the third thing is, first, it was, remember, it's actually a fellowship. Secondly is prayer. The third thing is obedience. Obedience. We have to be obedient. This is one of the keys to drawing near to him. Obedience. The scripture for this is John chapter 14, verse 15, and it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know that's in John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, when we obey God, we're not doing him a favor. Obedience is for our own benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's for our own benefit. So we're not doing him a huge favor by obeying him. It's not a favor. It is our duty to obey God. We are his children, and we are to do what he commands. Obedience is hard, but disobedience is harder. And sometimes we get to a point where we get frustrated in trying to do things our way, and God doesn't want that. He wants us to totally depend on him. We start going through challenges in our lives, and our circumstances seem to be so unbearable, and then we act in disobedience. And we say old things that, you know, we try to say, you know, old things have passed away, but as soon as something happens and makes us feel uncomfortable or something doesn't go the way we want it to go or we just don't like something, here comes the old us. You know, we say that the old things passed away. As soon as we get angry, get upset about something doesn't go right, the old us comes right back. And we run to all the things that we try so hard to get away from. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, it says, for the spirit of heaviness, God gave us a garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, God gave us a garment of praise. Now, it didn't say he gave us a smoke or a drink, but a garment of praise. So regardless of the circumstances, obedience is a must. Three main reasons we should want to obey are faith, hope, and love. Those are the reasons that we should want to obey. In faith, we believe that God's commands are for our own good. He loves us and wants to help us, not to give us any unnecessary burdens. As our Creator, he has the wisdom to know how we should live, what works best and what causes the most happiness in the long run. And we have to trust him in that. His perspective is much better than ours. You know that. You've been trying to fix this thing up forever. How are you doing with it? You're not doing good with it. It's still a mess. It's still not fixed up. You know why? Because you're trying to fix it. You're trying to put all the pieces to the puzzle together. You don't need to do that. He doesn't need help doing his job. He really doesn't. And obedience expresses faith in his wisdom and love. Obedience is what he made for us. No, wait a minute. Obedience is what he made us for, and life works better if we're in tune with the way we're made. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Obedience also involves hope in a future blessing. Yes, it does. If there is no future life, then Christianity would be foolish. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 to 18, Jesus promised that his disciples will find eternal life worth far more than anything they might have to give up in this age. And you look at Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 30, says that as well, talks about it. And everyone who's saved will have the joy of knowing God in eternal life. But there are also rewards in addition to eternal joy. Jesus encouraged his disciples to store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That was in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Several of his parables indicate that we'll be rewarded for what we do in this life. God rewards those who seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible, you hear what I said, impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's impossible. I didn't say you can probably, no, it's impossible without faith to please him. Being obedient includes love for people around us. You have to love the people around you because they will be better off if we obey God than if we don't. They will be better off if we obey God than if we do not obey God. If we don't, they're not going to be better off. And we want the people around us. You can't be thinking about, I didn't like her in middle school and I couldn't stand her in high school and she dated my boyfriend when I was 18. You can't think about this stuff. You've got to be obedient and love the people around you. God's instructions are sensible, not arbitrary rules. Mm-mm. They help people get along with each other. Now, I can get along with people that I at one time I just couldn't do. But guess what? I'm so happy that I can. I'm just so happy that I'm over all of that. Because guess what? He loves me. He's given me chance after chance after chance. Who am I not to love somebody else and give them a chance? Obedience serves as a witness to God in the gospel. Obedience says that God is great and good and wise, and we adore him. Obedience says that God is important, that he's valuable, and that he deserves our loyalty. Let your good deeds be seen. Jesus says so that people can see them. He wants your good deeds to be seen. And praise your Father in heaven. See, you've got to be obedient. That's the bottom line. There's no other way. You can't do it when you feel like it. You can't say, I'm going to be good today and I'm going to be bad tomorrow. Somebody got on my nerves today. It does not work like that. Let me move on. I see where it is. Let me hurry up and move on to number four. The first one was fellowship. Second one was prayer. The third one was obedience. And this last one, but not least, Bible study. And that's what we're on this line for. Now, this is where you're going to need. I want to move quickly. I'm kind of sometimes getting ahead of myself because I'm trying to speak so fast. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to move quickly because I know it's a little after 8:30 now. But this is very, very important, so stay with me here. You really need this part. The last but not least is Bible study. You need Bible study to draw you near to him. And I say this one for last because I want to put great emphasis on it. See, the Bible is crucial. It is crucial. And this portion of our study is going to really get deep. So you must know, you must get to know the Word of God. I don't want to say you must know, because eventually you will know if you start to get to know the Word of God. So you really got to get to a point where you're getting to know the Word of God so that you can know the Word of God. And when I first started doing a Bible study, I remember the Lord laid 2 Timothy 2:15 on my heart, and it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the mission was to reveal the message of the Bible, which helps us to understand the meaning and purpose of everyday life, and to bring women, us, all of us, including myself, to a deeper personal relationship with God. And I've said this on previous Bible study calls, and I'm going to say it again. We must know our Father, and through studying and learning the Bible, we'll get to know who he is, and we'll draw nearer to him. We have to know him, because the Bible is universal, and regardless of who you are, it won't offend you. That's the good part. No matter who you are, it's universal. It's not going to offend you. We need the Bible. We need Bible study. We need it. It connects us to the Word of God. The Bible can change the way a person thinks. And when your thinking changes, your doing will change as well. Because that's what happened with me. As my thinking changed, my doing started changing. It can enhance your knowledge along with your life. As we all know, it's only what we do for Christ that will last. And we also know that just one word from God can change your life forever. Just one word. From being casual readers of the Bible to being serious students of the Bible. Let's get to know our Heavenly Father. We got to do that. Just as well as we know our Father who we grew up with. We know our Father just like that. We know everything about him. But the question is, do you know your Father, your Heavenly Father? Yes, I know you know who your dad is, who your parent is, and you have all these expectations of him. He goes to work, he provides for his kids, and he cares for his family. Well, I'm talking about your Heavenly Father, who also He does the same thing. He cares for all of his children on earth. So let me quickly share some facts with you and some statistics that you may or you may not have known about the Bible, because some of this stuff I didn't even know. But the Bible, of course, a lot of us do know that it's a collection of 66 books and is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by about 40 authors. 66 books written in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by about 40 authors in three different languages on three different continents over approximately 1,600 years. That's the Bible. The Bible claims to be inspired and inerrant. This means that the Bible claims to be from God and that it is without error in everything that it addresses. The Bible contains many different styles of writing, such as poetry, narration, fiction, history, law, and prophecy. And it must be interpreted in context of those styles. It's the source of the Christian religion in that the Bible contains the words of God and how the Christian is to apply the words of God to his or her life. Outside of people saying they wanted to develop a better relationship with God, I remember a while ago I had received a phone call, and it prompted me to share some of the truths about the Bible, and it was my aunt. And she had been studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I remember her calling me, and she said, "I have a question for you." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I've asked a number of ministers this question over the past week, and none of them were able to answer." And I immediately got nervous. I said, "Oh, geez. Oh Lord, I probably don't know either, because I'm thinking it's something really huge." She said, "How many people wrote the Bible?" Ooh, I felt a huge relief, and I replied, "Well, there are around 40 different authors." She said, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe you knew that." Well, I tell you what, I thank God that I'm grateful that I knew the answer that you're looking for, but it's questions like that which will require that you study and know about God and his word. The Bible has 1,000, got your pen and paper, come on. It has 1,189 chapters between the New Testament and the Old Testament. And if you weren't sure, you didn't know, Testament means covenant or contract. And the Old Testament has 39 books, which were written by the prophets such as Moses, David, Isaiah, etc. Keep going with me. The Old Testament includes 5 law books, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, some of the books of the Bible, I may not pronounce them to the best, but I'm going to do my best. It includes 12 historical books, which are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. It includes 5 poetry books, which is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. It includes 17 prophetical books, 5 major prophets, and they are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Now that's all the Old Testament. Quickly over, the New Testament has 27 books, which were written by those who knew Jesus or were under the guidance of those who did. So the New Testament includes 5 historical books, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and most people know those 5 historical books because a lot of new Christians start with that New Testament with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. 13 epistles of Paul, which are Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and 9 general epistles, which are Hebrew, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. although the actual author of Hebrews was never quoted in the Bible, some of the authors attribute Hebrews to Paul. And based on the impression that was left behind and the thoughts seem to be of the Apostle Paul, which led people to believe that he is the author who wrote the epistle. In truth, God knows. Who does that? God alone knows who the author is, but truthfully. Now I'm going to use some additional statistics from the King James Version. This is from the King James Version. And I already told you that the Bible has 1,189 chapters. 929 of those chapters are in the Old Testament. 260 of the chapters are in the New Testament. And did you know that the Bible has 31,102 verses? It has 783,137 words, 3,116,480 letters. I didn't know that until I started digging deep. And the number of promises given in the Bible is 1,260. It has 6,468 commands. The longest verse in the Bible is Esther, chapter 8, verse 9, which has 78 words in that verse. The shortest verse is John, chapter 11, 35, in the King James Version, which was two words, and that was Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. In other verses, it may be Job 3:2, which was two words as well. Job said, or Job answered, or something like that. That's in other verses. I'm talking about the King James Version right now. The middle books are Micah and Nahum. The middle verse is Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3. The middle chapter is Psalm 117, which is also the shortest chapter by number of words. That's the shortest chapter by number of words. The shortest book by number of words is John 3. The longest book is Psalm, which has 150 chapters. The longest chapter is Psalm 119, which has 176 verses. The word God appears 4,094 times. This is in, again, King James. The word Lord appears 6,781 times. The Bible has been translated to over 1,200 different languages. And I also have the statistics of information in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, how it's broken down individually. But I'd have to possibly share that information with you in a different study due to time limitations. And I know I probably went much deeper than you probably thought I was going to go, but I want you to all know just how important it is to study the Bible and knowing the Word of God, knowing the Word, and knowing God, getting to know your Father. And for those of you who took notes, please write them again tomorrow so that your chances of retaining the information are increased, because we lose everything when we commit to short-term memory. You have to write things down to even remember it. Sometimes you don't remember stuff past 3 minutes. So writing things that you want to remember at least two times will force you to recall the information. And I just want to quickly tell you one more time, the four things that help you, or the four keys to draw near to Him, is fellowship is number one, and number two was prayer, number three was obedience, and last but not least was Bible study. In closing, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you will join us again on next week where Minister Erica will be sharing a message, and I hope that this was helpful. I know it's not a whole bunch of make me feel good, but I don't want you to always just feel good. I want you to be good. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. So it's not always about making me feel good. Bible study is about learning the Word of God, and sometimes we don't feel all the way real good when we have to learn the truth about the, you know, whatever the Word is. So I just again, want to say thank you so much for all of your time. If you could please join us on next Thursday, same time, same place, where Minister Erica will be sharing a message. And also, join us on Mondays. Minister Keisha is doing he's our intercessory prayer leader for our Warrior Women for God prayer line. And I want to give you that number because we all need prayer. We see what's going on. We saw what happened with church last night. And this is just, everything that's going on is just so awful. We have to keep this whole world in prayer. And we've got to keep our families, just everybody covered in prayer. So join us on Mondays. And I know sometimes you don't want to always say, I want to request a prayer for such and such. But you know what? Put your family on the altar. Because a lot of times we wait for things to happen, then we start asking people for prayer. We can't wait for things to happen. We need to be praying in the process before anything even happens to anybody. We got to stay in prayer. Keep our families lifted in prayer. So that number for Mondays is 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. Again, that's 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. And I wish I had more time. I'm sorry I spoke so quickly, but I knew the message was a little lengthy. But I do want to allow people the opportunity, if there's anybody who would like to share a testimony or say anything about tonight's message or last week's message or Minister Erica shared a word, please press 1 and I will release your line so that you can speak. I want everybody that wants to say something, again, whether it's a testimony, something about tonight's message, last week's message, please press 1 so that I can release your line so that you can speak. And don't forget, again, please join us on next Thursday. Okay, I don't see anyone who actually would like to speak at this time, and I'm glad we have a line full of people tonight, so God is amazing. But again, let me thank you so much, and I pray that you'll join us again next week. And every week, Dad, to bring your family and friends on the line, we love you, but God loves you best. Good night.